Not managed. We will make a start very briefly with the housekeeping. In the unlikely event of a fire, you will hear the fire alarm very clearly. There are fire exits at both ends of the building. Please assemble outside the main entrance to Temple Meads. Other than that, can I ask you all to please turn off your phones? Today's ceremony will be very short and sweet. There will be a speech from the new mayor, following which he will sign the acceptance of office. Without further ado, please welcome the Mayor of Bristol.
Wow. Who would have thought when I arrived in Bristol to come to this university in 1965, well, first to suss out the city that I'd never been to. And I came past in a car that I'd bought for £10. A 1934 Morris 8, and I drove past the station here, and I went past St Mary Redcliffe, and I went along the New Cut, and there was a little suspension bridge across the New Cut, and I thought, my God, that's not the suspension bridge that I thought it was. This guy, Brunel, obviously wasn't as great as I thought he was. And then I went and I saw that great view of Clifton and looked up to the real suspension bridge. And I came along and I somehow missed the cathedral and went up Park Street and I thought, my goodness, that's a great cathedral at the top of the hill. I was coming to study architecture. Who would have thought that 47 years later, I'd be standing here just about to be the mayor of the city I love and sometimes a city that sometimes I feel a little bit of irritation with, but I love it with a passion, and it is just great to see you all here. So many, many thanks for coming and supporting me. Anyway, thank goodness we're not electioneering anymore. By the way, just to explain, I've just been presented this by a gentleman from Tibet, and thank you so much, whoever you are. And thank goodness not everybody presented me with a scarf, I would have been waiting. But it's lovely, and I'm going to put it down there for later. So I'm not going to be here regurgitating things that were said over the election period, but we had well over 20 hustings. We got to know each other as candidates pretty well. And several of you are here, and I really want to pay tribute to my fellow candidates first. I call them fellow candidates because they're all people that you would ask to a party with a small p. There were no hate mongers. They were all really decent people. Thank you all. I'll name some, not all. There's Jeff Gollop, who has been served the city so brilliantly as mayor and continues to do as deputy mayor. There's John Rogers, who serves this city now and has put an awful lot of his life into it. There's Daniela Radici, who I think shone as the Green candidate and whose advice, along with the others, I shall really value. And last but not least, amongst those that scored high, was Marvin Rees. Marvin, I know what it's like to lose. I've done it in two elections in the 80s. I was about your age then. I think you are a tremendous guy, and I know that you'll go far, and I take a lot of notice of the things you said, and I want some of what I do to be your legacy. Thank you, Marvin. I said that you'd be bored of hearing policy. I'm bored of hearing policy, but it's important. I'm just going to mention one, because I chose to be here in Brunel's building at Temple Meads for several reasons. I wanted this to be in an iconic Bristol building. I want to call on the genius of Brunel to inspire us all to great things in difficult times. I want to think about our links across the world. We have the minor link to London, but we have the greater link to the rest of the world. What's great about Bristol, to my mind, is that we are our own place. We don't depend on London in the way many other provincial cities do. We're a proud provincial city, and I'm not ashamed to use that term, but we are pretty self-contained and we are independent. So, thank you, Brunel, for this, and hopefully for inspiring us to produce great transport across this region, across this city region, in these challenging times, which I may mention once or twice. I will mention that we have tough times. I will be faced, already this morning. I arrived at work at 9 o'clock on the dot. I arrived at City Hall. I'm not going to be spending my time changing names, but I just want to signify that I want the governance of Bristol to belong to the people of Bristol, not to the mayor or the council, but to the people of Bristol, and that was just a simple way of signifying it. And it actually is so much easier to explain to other people. City Hall is understood. Council houses are something else. Very important, but not always understood by people outside Bristol. Although I do enjoy us having quirks. I do enjoy us being different. And let's always celebrate the difference of Bristol. I've already enacted that one policy of changing. I'm going to move quite fast in my promises. Another one I'm going to do on the way back to City Hall is a little one of removing the Sunday parking charge that I think was slightly clumsily imposed 3 weeks ago. I'm going to do it not because I think it's wonderful to have a city overtaken by cars, but because I want to make Sundays special. I think there is a danger that Sunday is becoming like any other day. And I want to follow that wonderful example that Mayor Alain Juppé has driven through in our twin city of Bordeaux. I want to learn from other cities. I want to learn from the best practice of other cities. And his wonderful example is the way that he's revived central Bordeaux, not only with one of the greatest transport, urban transport systems in the world, absolutely beautiful, but with wonderful public spaces. And that if you go on the first Sunday of the month to Bordeaux, it's a romantic place that's taken over by people in love, by cycles, by people eating out, walking across the streets completely safely, because on that first Sunday of the month, it's free of cars. Let's experiment like this. Let's not spend a lot of money on reports and surveys. Let's just do it and see how it turns out. I'm very lucky. I felt absolutely calm about taking this on. I think I felt calm because on the Thursday of the election, I went around the streets of Bristol and I felt such huge warmth and support. And I thought, I'm not doing this alone. I'm doing this with a large section of the population behind me, and I want to bring the rest of the population behind me, and I will serve all of you, even the guy who swore at me in the street. Not a lot of them, but there was one who swore at me, and I said, I love you too. I do love him too, and he matters as much as anybody else. So I know I'll get lots of brickbats, but I know that I'll have tremendous support from family and friends, and I really value that. And my family and others have asked, what on earth are you doing this for? I think I've spent my life not being driven by wanting luxury. I'm lucky, I'm very fortunate, and Bristol has been really good to me. But I think always in my life, the greatest pleasure has come out of doing things and making things happen. There is no greater pleasure of seeing the things you've tried to do work. I've had failures, and I shall continue to have failures. I shall experiment, and I know some things will go wrong. But there is nothing more satisfactory, to my mind, than achieving stuff. And there is no, and that applies to my architecture, there is no greater privilege than having a profession that enables you to leave things behind you, some of which you want to put underneath a shroud. Or as that great American architect Frank Lloyd Wright said, sometimes you can only hope that your plants will grow vines. But anyway, this is the ultimate project. This is much more than architecture. It is about people. And I have a sign up in my office that reminds all the architects in my ex-practice, because from this morning it's my ex-practice. And I've handed over my shares to my three able younger partners. I have a sign up that's saying, it's the people, stupid. And it's the people, stupid will be a sign up in the mayoral office. And it's always, always got to be in the forefront of my mind. And I think maybe I should have a sign up that says, it's the young people, stupid. Don't worry, old people. It'll be the older people, stupid as well. But I want to start off with a stress on the young people of this city. That's why I'm doing it. I'm too old to benefit. greatly from the changes, whatever they are, that we managed to bring in these extremely difficult circumstances. By the way, my first meeting this morning, I discovered that the hole in the budget has risen from 25 to 28 to 32 million. That, if it carries on at that rate, by Wednesday it'll be 40. But I want to say to the young people of this city, it's your future, and I do it for you. And I want to feel that when I'm gone, that decisions that we have all made now have made this a much better place than it would have been otherwise. And I want to say to the young people of the city that not only that I'm not just doing it for you, but I'm expecting you to do it for yourself as well, and that if you put a lot of effort in, that it will be rewarded 10 times over. So I think we've got a city full of great young people, let down by some who in difficult circumstances turn to less useful occupations. And I know that Sue Mount-Stevens, who is the new PCC, congratulations, Sue, on a tremendous victory for independence. I know that Sue and I will be working to make quite sure that we do everything we can to make this city a good one for young people, that we have safer streets, that we have and inspiring alternatives for young people. When I was High Sheriff, I set up the High Sheriff's Fund to encourage young people to take part in crime reduction schemes. That hundreds of thousands of pounds have now run through that. And thank you, all you High Sheriffs since 1996, who have added to that fund and taken it through to today and increased the amount that it's able to give and support. While I'm talking about young people, I'd also like to talk about those people who suffer in our schools and elsewhere from bullying. Today's Anti-Bullying Week, and I think it's the duty of all of us to look out for those who are bullied, either verbally or physically, and let's make quite sure that we support them, and that includes the teachers and your friends. I think it's an opportunity for me to say I would like a city where we all look out for each other. That our neighbours really matter. If our neighbour has not appeared for a couple of days and that's unusual behaviour, do try and find out why. That if somebody is homeless for no apparent reason and is unable to find help themselves, stop and ask and find out why. I just think that I want a city that has a reputation of being not just a happy city, which obviously we like to be, but a very caring city as well. And that isn't all down to the council. It's down to all of us. That leads me on to the council. There are 70 councillors on this city council. All elected by the 35 wards. I want to join with you in making this a better city. I thank all of you who I have absolutely no doubt are there for the better interests of the city. Whatever was said in during an election, I have absolutely no doubt. And I also have an absolute no doubt that we're all faced with a new way of working. And I ask you to embrace that. I've this morning been talking to all the leaders of all the four parties on the City Council. They've all been very generous in their congratulations, and they've all been extremely cooperative in the discussions that I'm having about trying to put a cabinet together. To put a rainbow cabinet together requires an element of diplomacy. It requires all of us burying a bit of our baggage. And I thank all four leaders for having entered the conversations in such a constructive manner. And I know that what divides us and what divides even all the parties from each other is minor compared with our devotion and shared love of the city. Anyway, I'm not negotiating now. I mentioned the candidates. I would also like to mention all the other candidates. I'm not going to mention them all by name. I mean, I can see a few here. There's Stoney in his red hat. There's Dave of the birthday party in his very flamboyant suit. And I felt slightly outdone on the sartorial front. And there's Rich, who dresses exotically and rather stylishly as well. And do you know, there isn't a candidate that I didn't learn something from. Tim Collins, with his great championing of Filton Airfield. I will be talking to Tim about it. It was Tony Britt, who was there because of his passion for saving his local boxing club, which does so much to take tough kids off the streets. Tony, I'll be supporting you. Anyway, I also want to address those great people who work in the council offices. I suddenly find I have a few thousand people working for me. I want to talk to as many of you as I can, and I want to instill you, as I probably doesn't need instilling, with a real enthusiasm for this new way of working. Again, let's look out for every opportunity that presents itself. Let me know, let the mayoral office know of opportunities in the council that you feel are wasted. Let me know what's blocking you in your jobs. Let me know whether you're in the right job. Let me know if you've got entrepreneurial ideas about improving the way we do things. There is a great army of council officers, and you can make a huge difference to the city, and I think liberate your lives, which sometimes may feel that you are trapped in a job and a way of doing things that you would like to find another way of doing. I would like to talk to the trade unions. I look forward to discussions about how we move forward, how we improve people's lives and their working conditions. And I will take notice of some of the things that were said during the campaign about doing that. I have no doubt that we will have some tough negotiations, but we will have them with mutual respect. And I would like to talk to the people who I should have mentioned right at the beginning. Lord Mayor. Lord Mayor, you do a great job. Lord Lieutenant, you are amazing that you take on a job that does not have any end date to it. And you serve the city so well. The High Sheriff, and I'm really talking about the roles, who continues the great tradition. And it's traditions that we've got to continue. I'm not here to break traditions. We may bring a new way of working, but I shall walk behind Peter Main, the Lord Mayor, and will be honored to be in line at all. And he will shake. He will bow to the Queen before I do on Thursday when we have the opportunity to welcome the Queen to Bristol. And we will welcome the Queen to Bristol, and it will be the beginning of making Bristol the most welcoming city in the country, in Europe. I would like to speak to all those other traditional organizations in Bristol. that are part of our history and that play such an important role in the city, including the Society of Merchant Venturers, which I got a bit of knocking for being a member of. Society of Merchant Venturers play a really important role in this city, and I thank you all for the money and the time that you all put into education, into services for young people and old people. And I'm proud to have been a member, and I shall be proud to work with you to make quite sure that that tradition continues. I want to, I think, early on speak, and I think there are representatives here, to our neighbouring authorities. The three neighbouring authorities that make up Cuba, the county that used to be Avon. Our interests are your interests. Your interests are our interests. We've got to work together. We are a city region. We are two city regions. And we're one city region of two cities. And I did say in my acceptance speech, I want to make quite sure that Bristol is recognized across the world on its own without always having to refer to being somewhere close to Bath. But Bath's got the beauty and we have the brawn. I want to talk to the business community. It is the business community that makes this city tick. You can't talk about poverty and exclusion, about making lives better for people, unless we bring prosperity to the city. We are lucky. We are a relatively rich city. We're probably the richest city per capita outside London, in England, exclude Edinburgh. They keep their money to themselves. I can say that because Ferguson can. But I do think that we've got to be much more serious about how we spread that wealth. But in order to spread the wealth, we've also got to make it. I was asked, how much is a mayor worth? Now, what a silly question. I think a mayor's worth millions, but I'm not going to ask for that salary. A good mayor is worth millions, because a good mayor will bring hundreds of millions of pounds worth of investment into this city, and we should welcome that. We've got to get the right investment into the city. A good mayor will free up the doing of business in this city, remove the obstacles, the unnecessary obstacles to doing business in this city. I want to work with the business community to make quite sure that we are working as one and that Bristol is an open city, that when people want to come and do business in this city, when they want to develop their own small businesses in this city, that the mayoral office is there to assist. I want us to have that reputation. And I'm not sure we always have done. I'm very proud that we are a city that's the biggest city ever to develop its own currency. And I talked about the mayoral salary. I don't really mind what level it's at. But I think there is an issue about it not being at the demeaning level that makes us look small, because we should look big, and that's not about me. But what I have said is that I take the mayoral salary in Bristol pounds. And that may... So that'll be third pledge delivered in a day. And that may seem funny, but if I take my mayoral salary in Bristol pounds, if you want to be by appointment to the mayor, you've got to take them. Stony. Right. Stony, I know, but you're rich in many other ways, and you enrich the city, and you that's fine. And I talked about doing business being necessary to address all these issues in the city. If we're to lighten the load that we have as a city council in having to provide so much support, quite rightly, we have to put people into employment. But there are people who will never and can never be in employment. We mustn't judge people because they're poor, because they are lonely, because they're unable to look after themselves. We must help them. We should celebrate the diversity we have in this city. I want us to be one city, but I want us to celebrate our differences. I am so delighted and honoured that people of all the cultural communities in this city seem to be present. Thank you so much. And thank you for making this a much better city than it was when I arrived in 1965, when it didn't have that level of diversity. You have improved it. So, I do think, having said all that, discrimination does still exist. Let's try and get it completely off the agenda. There were only one or two people who stopped me during the election, and I ended up by saying, I don't think you want to vote for me. To be honest, I don't think I want your vote. Please go and find out more before you say such stupid things. Because people do say stupid things. Sometimes you can forgive it through a lack of understanding and education. But let's educate so people realize the richness of what we have with the diversity in this city, and let's be intolerant about people judging other people in the way that they do, and especially prejudiced judgment. I mean discrimination in terms of sexuality, in terms of ability, and in terms of all forms of mental health and any other thing that prevents people playing the full part in society that they might otherwise be able to do. Older people are often marginalized. Let's make quite sure that the older people of this city are properly represented. And let's make sure that people like me, who enjoy cycling, do so responsibly and don't scare old people on pavements. Let's honour the fact that we are a city of sanctuary. That may not mean something to a lot of you. It means a lot to some of you. And I think it's really important that it sends out a message of being that welcoming city. So welcome those who regard us as that city of sanctuary. And let's honour all the different religions across this city. My greatest pleasure, real pleasure, because campaigning isn't all pleasure, was taking part in the various festivals and services and celebrations of the different religions. Whether you are Christian, Muslim, Jew, Hindu, atheist, of no persuasion, you all matter a lot. and you all have something to teach each one of us. Anyway, I come to a relative conclusion. I think I told you about the added shock of the budget. When I became president of the RIBA, first day in 2003, hauled into the chief executive's office to find there was an enormous hole in the final salary pension scheme, and it was threatening to bust the organization. We dealt with it. I like a challenge. I would like a slightly smaller challenge than the one that the budget presents us. But we've got to be really clever about making that cut, which is inevitable in financial terms, and yet somehow delivering those essential services. I will work with anybody who can find clever ways of delivering those services. I come with absolutely no dogma about how we do it. What matters that we do it. And I want to be able to work with the voluntary sector, particularly in this city. We have a very rich and well-developed voluntary sector. I want to make quite sure that they're not excluded from the commissioning of services, and that commissioning is made as easy as possible where we are, as a council, are unable to provide directly from the centre. And I think it all comes down to us remembering that we are our brothers and sisters' keeper. Anyway, I would just like to share with you my personal feelings of today. I feel absolutely honoured that the people of Bristol, that you have entrusted me in this way. I felt remarkably calm about it because I don't want to make any decisions through panic. I want to make quite sure that I spend time getting things together. I want to make quite sure that any discussions with people have the time for sensible outcomes. And I want to make sure that what I do is done for the best of reasons, not with an eye to getting re-elected. How I'll feel in 3.5 years' time, I don't know. Take photographs now and compare them. But I do know that I will get a lot of brickbats. I do know there will be times when I really wonder why on earth I'm doing it. But I do know that I'll come out at the other end and know that I tried, and I tried for you. Anyway, thanks for the opportunity of giving me the ultimate project, making Bristol a better place. And I'd just like to leave you with the appropriate words of George Bernard Shaw. The pessimist complains about the wind. The optimist expects it to change. The realist adjusts the sails. I think I'll be adjusting the sails for Maritime Bristol every week. And please put up with me while I give you my personal oath before I do the other oath. And I'd like you all to, got the wrong little book. I have a little black book and a little red book. That oath that I said I would give in my acceptance speech, the oath that was given by the young citizens of Athens, by this old man of Bristol on becoming mayor? And can you say it or whisper it to yourself? I shall not leave this city any less, rather greater than I found it. All of you, I shall not leave this city any less, rather greater than I found it. I need all of you to help me do that. Thank you. Can you hear me? At the back. Just to prove I've got a voice of my own rather than an electronic one. I, George Ferguson, having been elected to the office of Mayor of the City and County of Bristol, declare that I take that office upon myself and will duly and faithfully fulfil the duties of it according to the best of my judgment and ability.